TTF 256 TTF 256 TTF 256 TTF 256. Episode, what I believe to be 4 of Throw the Flag on 256 today. Here with me is Hankins. Hankins, how are you?
I'm so congested. Got a scratchy throat. This is what listeners like to hear about. Health updates from the co-host, right? arms a little sore.
You know, you got
I had 2 pieces of pizza last night, and boy, I got to tell you, I was really indulgent.
Man, sounds like
my mother's a monster who sent brownies for Valentine's Day, knowing good and darn well that I don't need that in my home. Mm-mm, mm-mm. Welcome to Health Chat, guys, where a couple guys talk about being healthy after 40.
Sounds like you got a bum unit. I know how that feels.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. Great Seattle pitcher, bum unit.
Was the Super Bowl last night? I feel like 20.
I couldn't possibly know when the Super Bowl
20
was.
Years have happened since last night. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Rams.
Somehow, I've lived long enough that now Los Angeles Rams doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
St. Louis Rams didn't sound right forever.
No, well, the Rams are never right.
Yeah, except for last night. They got pretty right last night.
By 3 points. This was not a blow. They have one of the most stacked teams ever. And
yes, and they kept falling like flies.
Yes, they did. That is very true. I guess on that last play, Aaron Donald just decided to play quarterback by grabbing Joe Burrow's hand and throwing it into
and throwing the ball into the turf. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to have studied the career of Aaron Donald because he played for the Rams his whole career. But I can honestly say
he's the man.
I have never seen a game like that where every time they absolutely had to have a stop, he either directly did the stop or was so unstoppable that the fifth person who showed up to block him let someone free to go make the play. It was truly, and like that dude, I don't know if I've ever seen a guy who wanted to win a Super Bowl that bad.
Yeah. I mean, you could see it when he beat the Niners in the conference championship game.
Yeah.
Or the NFC championship, as you might call it. I guess, like, I just imagine for a year, because he's been in the league for like 7 or 8 years, and I just imagine that he has just been, you know, when the Rams drafted.
I think it's longer than that, right? I think he's, because he's talking about retiring.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's his name from Ole Miss who played for the Niners with the club on his hand? He played for like 8 years.
Patrick Willis.
Yeah, Patrick Willis. I mean, I just imagine, was it Carson Wentz that they traded for Stafford? It's either Carson Wentz
or Goff.
Goff. I always get those two confused.
2014, so you're right there on.
And so he, I was looking it up as well. So, you know, I just imagine when they draft Goff and he's like, God damn it. Like, this is not the fucking end. Like, get me.
He got him to the Super Bowl the second year, right? Second or third year, Goff got him there.
I don't watch football.
That's true. They also had a monster running back run by the name of Todd Gurley, mm-hmm. who they ran literally
into the
all of the... They literally ran everything they could out of him. Then he got paid and they realized, oh no, we've made a terrible mistake.
Todd Gurley is like a throwback of... do you remember that like 4 to 6 year span in the NFL where like... Priest Holmes, Sean Alexander, like, broke the, like, touchdown season record, like, year
LaDainian
after year.
LaDainian Tomlinson, Priest Holmes, year after year.
Yeah, and they just, like, moving. All kind of, like, leapfrogged each other. Todd Gurley is one of those running backs. He's not a 2022 running back. He is a running back whose career you destroy. Not unlike Hobbs and Ronald Steele with Alabama basketball.
That hurts.
It doesn't matter.
Rod Grizzard.
If you were to tell me Mo Williams is still with the Jazz, I would believe you.
If you were to tell me that Marvin Orange is still bouncing around the league somewhere, I'd listen to it. Where's James Hollywood Robinson these days? I'm here to tell you Hollywood. The highest episode of this podcast would be if we just sat here
and listed
1990s Alabama basketball players.
McDice, Robert Horry,
Jason Caffey.
Caffey is the go-to, man. He got drafted by the Bulls. Anyway, back to the superb owl.
Wimp Sanderson.
Man, they showed him at the Auburn game. He was not happy.
Was Wimp the first cancellation in college basketball?
It may have been, actually.
Like, Wimp got canceled. Did he cheat or did he beat? He's a beater. He's a beater.
That's the lesser of the two.
It is. As long as you cheat with consent from the party with which you are cheating.
Well, of course. Yeah. Then that's just something. That's an actual.
Because if you get accused of cheating these days, you just have to go on a cool vacation, show up late to media day, run in the side door, and everything will be fine.
Hey, you know what? We ran the column that Auburn had to keep Brian Harsin. And they did. They read our article. They listened to last week.
I know you laid out a lot of good points for why they had to keep him. What do you think is ultimately the reason they decided that? Outside of
they cannot look at $40 million in paying people to not coach football. I don't care.
$40 million to pay Brian Harsin and that other guy whose name is gone from
Terry Polk.
I thought I had gotten rid of it. I thought his name was completely out of my mind.
I'm sure Terry Bowden's still in that payroll, baby.
I bet Gene Chizik's cashing a check.
It's
when he's not hashtagging his tweets with, and I quote, words of chisdom.
Oh, no, 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 no. Chiz is too close to something else. Just not.
Cheese whiz.
Mm-hmm. Chiz whiz.
Chiz whiz.
Ooh! No!
I don't like that. I don't care for
why,
that.
Why do you think they ultimately kept him?
I think you nailed it. I think it's, they looked and said, we can pay him $40 million. Or not him $40 million. We can have a total buyout pool of being paid $40 million today, or we can just wait for him to lose six games next year.
Yeah.
And some of that will go away, and it will be a lot easier to pass it on.
You know, on that column, I was doing some research, clicking around Wikipedia, looking at basically coaches for Auburn, Pat Dye to current day. And the narrative that I was looking to back up was that first year coaches at Auburn usually light the world on fire. But that's actually not it. It's actually, you know, Pat Dye, I think Pat Dye and Tommy Tuberville both, you know, won either five or six games their first year.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have the, but it's either in that first or second year in every coach that Auburn has had since Pat Dye. And, you know, whether or not they have sustained success that is agreeable to keeping their job is, you know, viewed through a different lens in each, you know, time period. But I think that, you know, Harsin could, the schedule does not back up my theory, but Harsin could very well, you know, he could trip over his own feet and win 10 games. It's not going
to
happen.
What did I say when all of this started to you? And I've got the receipts. It's in a text message. I said he's going to win 9 or 10 games next year, and he's going to beat Alabama or Georgia.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works down there.
Yeah.
They try. Guy comes in, doesn't set the world on fire. They're ready to fire him. And then everybody rallies behind him, and they rattle off a season that nobody sees coming. And then the next year it dips, and we keep doing this until it's buyout time. Like, that's just how it goes.
I mean, it seems to be like a season in Auburn. Well, I mean, let's look at Auburn's 2022 schedule. And let's just see if we can do this briefly. Mercer, they're going to win.
That's a dub.
San Jose State, they're going to win.
Dub.
Penn State, I'm going to say they're going to lose.
they're going to beat Penn State because it's still Penn State.
It's at Jordan-Hare. I'm gonna say.
No, man, that's a blowout. They're going to blow Penn State out.
Yeah, that's a three. Missouri, I'm going to give them a win.
As number four, we're 4-0. Auburn made the right decision, sticking with embattled Coach Harrison, and he's 4-0, rolling into
LSU at home, Auburn. I'm going to say that's a loss.
I'm going to let them win that one. I'm going to let them win.
They're 5-0.
The fighting Brian Kelly's can't get it done in the first year. Nobody can understand him with his weird Southern accent now. They learned how to understand.
By the way, did you see the dude who he was dancing with in that video went to Alabama?
Did you also see that dude was a 3-star recruit? Fire Nick Saban.
If Brian Kelly is twerking for a 3-star, we got problems in Baton Rouge.
What'd you do for a 3-star, BK? Shit.
Okay, then they go to Sanford Stadium in Georgia. That's a loss.
Yeah, that's a loss.
So then they go to
5-1.
Then they go to Oxford. I'm gonna say 5-2.
Yeah. It's on the skids. It's starting to shake. Oh no.
They have a bye week and then they host Arkansas.
They beat Arkansas. I'll say this. They come out of that 3-game stretch.
2 out of 3.
2 out of 3.
Okay. And you're saying that they will, you know, go through that, you know, the first 5 games, LSU and Penn State, they're going to go 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're 5-2, or I guess 6-2 with Arkansas. Then they go to Starkville.
Oh, that's a win.
Okay, so they're 7-2. Then they host A&M.
They lose that game.
Okay, so 7-4. They 7-3. They host the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers.
Yep, we're at 8.
I think Western Kentucky just lost that quarterback they had, so that's an easy win. And then they travel to Bryant-Denny Stadium,
where they somehow beat the Crimson Tide.
So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think they get to 8.
6, 7, 8, 9. You have 9. Yeah. 9 and
they
3.
They get to 9. Yeah. No football reasons for that. I've just been reading this book a long time, and this is how this character has developed in my brain. This is what it does. Yet another reason, blow up the Iron Bowl.
Definitely need to isolate
that. They don't win the West somehow.
No, God.
Alabama still wins the West.
Well, you know, you have them losing to
A&M,
Georgia.
And, it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight.
It's going to be tight. Well, let's get back to the Super Bowl. Sucks our boy Burrow. Couldn't have made it.
Here's what I don't like. I love him. I love my beautiful Ohio-born son. I don't know if the path back is easy at all. I feel like the Bengals just caught lightning in a bottle this year.
They've got a good team.
It fell their way. I mean, they've got to shore up that offensive line, but, you know, there was another young, brash quarterback who took the league by storm in, I believe, his second year, got to the Super Bowl, never got back, and he started calling people and asking them to come to Pitt because that was Dan Marino. Everybody just assumed Marino's coming. He's going to be here forever.
Yeah.
Never got back to the big game.
I wonder, did Namath ever – he played in what, 3 and 4?
I think it was just the one, right?
It is so crazy to think, like, how Bart Starr and Joe Namath are more, like, they're closer contemporaries than we'd like to admit.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, speaking of that, Shiny, here's a segment that no one's heard.
Bart Starr was the MVP of Super Bowl I. Namath was the MVP of Super Bowl III.
So, new listeners, a long, long time ago, and by that I mean like 2 years, we heard a statistic given during an Auburn game. that said,
if I may,
Booby Whitlow, you go. Yes,
if I
you
may,
got it, pal.
This was, I believe it, you know, in the first quarter of like the fourth or fifth game of the season. So their broadcasters, their research teams, they're trying to find something, anything that can
Dave, and Dave from Jefferson Pod.
Yeah, more or less. Honestly, I think this was on ESPN, but they
but it was definitely 11 o'clock in the morning, which will always be Jefferson Pilot to me.
And they had a stat to share about then Auburn running back Booby Whitlow, who I don't remember the exact thing. I need to find it, but it was he had the
fifth most
rushing yards of any Auburn running back through four games since 2000. And so,
and it had so many qualifiers.
So many qualifiers, and it's just, it bugs the hell out of me. Like, you know, say it's the 2022 season, and next season you will at least one time, mark my words, you will see some stat that says whether, you know, whether the commentator says it or it's printed below, they will say, this is the first time this has happened since 2020. Okay, yep. So it didn't happen last year. Just say that. Yep. That's not like a, yep. You know.
15 years. This podcast has a 15-year rule.
The Detroit Lions have not started a season 4-0 in the history of their participation in the NFL. That is a stat.
That's a stat.
What is a shat is Booby Whitlow has the fifth most rushing yards of any, especially when in a program that has tandem running backs. How, like, for three years.
Tank Bigsby probably broke the record last year.
They had Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown for 3 years. Back, like, and both of
and
them.
And James Bostic and Stephen Williams and Trey Williams.
Oh my God. Carry on Johnson. Like,
carry on my wayward son.
Yeah.
So, for the first time on the TTF 256 version of this.
Are we doing it?
Shawnee. I got a stat.
Or
a shat.
Okay.
A for you.
Ooh, I like it.
You know what? I'm going to hit the theme.
Stat or shat? Did you know the fifth leading rusher is Booby Whitlow? Through three games since 2000, we'll make a decision on if this is stat or shat.
So, Shawnee, last night, former UGA quarterback Matthew Stafford led his Los Angeles Rams to the Super Bowl championship.
Are you sure that was not Jason Isbell?
I'm 100% not sure of that.
What I like about this new iteration of the show is we can retread all these jokes.
It's free content. Did you know, Shawnee, he is the only SEC quarterback to win a Super Bowl?
Well, that's not true.
Who did not attend Alabama or whose last name isn't Manning? Is that a stat or is it a shat?
He's the only SEC quarterback not named Manning and who did not go to Alabama to win a Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
That can't be true.
That's what I read. I did no more research on it.
Peyton and Eli are the only SEC quarterbacks.
And the other two would be Star, Stabler, Namath.
Yeah, and you know what? There's also, like, I'm trying to think of...
Rex Chapman got there, didn't make it.
Yeah.
Danny Werfel didn't get close to it. Cam got there, didn't win it. I think that's...
Who did Werfel...
Werfel was a commander.
Yeah. For some reason,
pretty woke, am I right, guys?
It is. let's see.
Tim Couch didn't do it.
No, yeah, that
Jamarcus Russell didn't quite make it.
Man, you know what?
Tim Tebow.
You know, I
didn't
actually
quite get there.
I actually forget that the because Bart Starr and the Packers also won the second
Yes.
The first three
were Alabama, right?
Quarterbacks.
Yeah. And then the snake eased in there. I guess the, I'm saying that. I think I might be wrong about that. I don't know that the snake actually won one.
Let's see.
I may be wrong. Plunkett.
Yeah, Stabler won in 76 Super Bowl 11. Okay. He beat Fran Tarkenton. Staubach, Bradshaw, Plunkett, Montana, Thiesman, Plunkett. Fuck it. His name is Thiesman. I do not know.
You're not subscribing to their change of his name so that it rhymed with Heisman.
That his name is Thiesman.
His mama named him Thiesman. I'ma call him Thiesman. Mm-hmm.
McMahon, Sims, Doug Williams, Montana, Hostetler, Mark Rippon. Aikman, Young, Aikman, Favre, Elway, Warner, Dilfer, Brady, Johnson, Brady, Roethlisberger, Manning, Roethlisberger, Breeze, Rogers, Manning, Flacco, Wilson, Brady, Manning, Brady, Foles. Yeah. That is correct.
And I jokingly said last night to the person I was watching the game with, like, you know, nobody named Joe has ever lost the Super Bowl if they played in one. And I think I might have been right until last night. Name is Montana Flacco, because Flacco was the one I was wondering about.
Flacco really got paid, didn't he? Well, the main thing about the Super Bowl is there is a local tie-in because the...
The Fort Payne's own.
Evan McPherson.
Oh, shit-talking Evan McPherson, who walked out onto the field 2 weeks in a row and told his quarterback, don't worry about it, I got you.
By the way, I hate, like, feel old yet, whatever. Evan McPherson was born July 21st, 1999.
Nobody was born after 1990s.
He was born after Ross and Rachel got back together.
24 is the highest number. Nobody was born after that.
All I gotta say is 24.
Evan really, really captured the hearts and minds of America. He was all of us, as they kept telling me.
I don't know why he didn't come to Alabama, but you know what? That's fine.
Well, would you have gone to Alabama during the dark ages of kickers?
We have brought good kickers to Alabama, and they have just shriveled up like those little shrimp in the Little Mermaid. We are Ursula, and the kickers are those poor, unfortunate souls.
You never want that curse. You don't want that curse on you. It is a curse.
I thought you said you worked at Curves, which is where Ursula would go to work out.
You got to make your money, buddy. But yeah, he really was getting after the people last night. Did not go in for halftime at all.
He, Rich Eisen, your favorite.
Jim Harbaugh's best pal. We
are going to out each other so many times down the road on unpopular opinions on very likable sports. Like, maybe Holly Rowe doesn't get a pass, is all I'm saying. So Rich Eisen tweeted that, you know, looks like Evan McPherson is hanging out for the halftime show. Hashtag.
What a hater. Case in point, Rich Eisen. Dry snitching Rich Eisen. No, that's wet snitching. He just came out and told on the young man.
What is the difference between dry and wet snitching?
Dry snitching is when you tell on somebody without saying.
Like, I don't know where I don't know where Hankins is, but
yeah,
if you check the no-tell motel,
right? Yeah.
He also hashtagged his tweet with "Kickers love hip hop too."
Yeah. Okay. All right. How many others? Hashtag with that. If I go search for it, I'm just going to get Rich Eisen's tweet.
It's like 80 tweets in the last hour. I just,
what a shock. Kid that age from Fort Payne wanted to hear Eminem. Oh my God, I never would have thought that would have happened. Big shock.
Good for him, man. You know what? Like,
it was a lullaby.
In that moment, we all were Evan McPherson.
Yes, we all were who were sitting at home watching the game. You know who wasn't? The person who's in the Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl.
I did think it was a little silly that, like, I mean, at least among my friends.
Did he not know that the good people at NBC had a lot of cameras running and he could catch up on this later?
Hey.
Or, I know he's young, but there was a network called Music Television. That had a lot of videos that he could go on to the archives and check out. Maybe halftime of the Super Bowl is not the time to go take in a concert if you are indeed in the Super Bowl. As a Cincinnati Bengal, he's in the Super Bowl.
Up until this year, no one had ever sent a text message about the Cincinnati Bengals winning a playoff game.
Thank you. And so... Oh, Big Kick Energy over here says, ain't nobody going to tell me nothing about
Kick Energy. Come on. Tell me that's his nickname.
It is now.
Big Kick Energy is so good because it rhymes with dick.
What if they wanted to call an onside kick early in the season?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like...
Jamar, dumb coach is struggling with everything.
Jamar Chase is in the locker room at halftime. He's like, hey, you know, before coach starts a speech, and I noticed something about the way the Rams have been defending kicks, and I just wanted to hook up with Evan. Have you seen him? No.
Evan, and all you hear is, oh, he's outside singing Mom's Spaghetti. What? He's in the Super Bowl. Why is he doing this with his hands?
He's also 22. Why is he acting like...
These were his lullabies.
The Chronic 94 was old to me.
Yes.
I'm 38.
Never kissed a girl. So, yes. Look, I don't dislike fun. I don't dislike it. And there were two other guys with him.
No, you love
on
fun.
On the sideline. I love fun. But here's the deal, Evan. If they can gain 20 more yards on the last drive of that game.
Yeah, sure.
He's going to be called on to kick a game-tying field goal in the Super Bowl, which I will remind everyone, he is in.
And maybe he spends those 45 minutes on a bike staying loose.
If he, I don't care if he sits in there and drinks Gatorade. I'm not coming at this from the position of old man shakes fist at cloud. These kids don't. No, I am protecting North Alabama's own Evan McPherson from himself, because if he misses that kick.
Yeah.
And the first shot we see.
All of a sudden he becomes Dr. Ryan Flugner, DDS in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes. He is the meme. How it started, how it's going. It's him at halftime smiling.
Oh, no, you're absolutely.
It's the kid. Come on, y'all. Like, he's young enough to know this.
And then that turns into, like, my plans, 2022's plans.
Yes.
It's him, like, crouched down, covering his helmet.
It's Joe Burrow as Ace, as Ray Finkel.
Yeah.
Saying, laces. Come on. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, you're
right.
They
don't want that smoke. Like, the stupid Falcons were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl. They've never gotten over it. They at least went in at halftime and didn't stay out to watch Big Boy.
Oh, man, that was such a better halftime show.
You can't get caught up in the jams, Evan McPherson. What if he hurts himself crip walking?
You know, people give Maroon 5 a bad rap.
As they should.
I agree. But, you know, Fort Payne's own, I mean, we probably are going to have to do later on in this season, in the previous iteration, of this podcast, you know, we did our internationally, globally renowned series, Haas of Haases, which I think had Orlando Pace versus Ed Reed.
Ed Reed, I would imagine.
In the finals. And I think Ed Reed won, but I voted for... No, because both you and I voted Orlando Pace. I think Orlando Pace was the...
Yeah.
Yeah. We
never gave up a sack. Didn't get called for a whole
in four years. And that's probably something that we're going to have to do. And, you know, just kind of without really knowing the landscape, aside from, you know, the kids that you grew up with that went on to play college football from the Shoals. Pretty much all I got is like Jason Swain.
Kenneth Darby.
Yeah, Kadar went to Huntsville High.
Oh my God! No!
Kadar, baby.
We did not call him Kadar.
Kenneth Darby. He actually works for Shonda Davis Real Estate in Huntsville, Alabama, today.
I hope he's outgrown the name Kadar.
Oh, I think Steven, I think. Well, my friend Steven, redacted last name, called him that one time in college, and so I. It rhymes with radar.
I get it.
But yeah, off the top of your head, who are some other Hoss of Hosses? Because from North Alabama, we would have to, you know, does that start, you know, does that stop north of Coleman, whatever. But like the Shoals are going to be in it.
Ozzie Newsome, Ed West, the various Goods,
mm-hmm.
Antonio Langham,
yeah.
Chris Hood. That's just rattling off dudes that were around when I was in school.
You know, that's something that we could actually,
I'd love to find out where, running back Greg Nations is these days.
Sure.
He might've went to Piedmont though. That might be a little too far south. But yeah,
I think we need to crowdsource this, from listeners.
Absolutely. Tell me the baddest dude you went to high school with. I'll go look at stats up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just give us names. We'll do the work.
Also, to steal something from Bomani Jones, tell me about the time you tried to tackle him.
Now we're talking. Who's and to tell you something from whenever I hear Bomani, I think of Booger. Which again, if I'm explaining the joke,
Revenge of the Nerds.
It's hilarious.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh no, I was thinking
Booger McFarland.
Booger McFarland just and as Booger says, sorry, that's not anything.
My finger.
That's not what his voice sounds like. It's just
linemen like hip hop too.
Well,
but I can't wait to do the Hosses of North Alabama tournament.
I think we're in good shape on that one. That's going to be a lot of fun, just because. It's gonna be on soul research for me because I just didn't see anybody swim. Like I never went to football games in college.
Too busy watching To Catch a Predator, like you do currently.
Well, I mean, it's a good show. You know, it really kind of like keeps your moral compass in check. It's a funny show. You know,
get some good tips and tricks how not to get caught.
I think, we've reached the end of our episode here. I was going to say it's surprising that we kind of wrapped this up in 33 minutes because I thought it was going to be a lot longer than that.